Hello everyone, this is Ryan Hoover with Product Hunt Radio number 6. I'm here with Ash and Sandy. How's it going, guys?
Hey, great
hey,
to be here.
Hey, good. Yeah, good to be here.
Awesome. So, do you guys want to introduce yourself? What are you working on?
Sure. Yeah, so I'm working on a product called Quib. So it's a social news product for professionals. So it's a way for people to share the best content, what they read every day, really interesting news as it pertains to their professional life. And then there's you're able to comment on it and then have discussions with experts and colleagues and other professionals who work in your industry.
Awesome. Do you know what my user ID number is? Do you know what Osh is? Because I want to...
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I don't.
Okay. I'm gonna find out.
I think
out
you're probably
this.
Like sub 300.
Sub 300, okay.
Sub maybe 200.
Okay.
You're close. You're early. Yeah. You're definitely early.
When did you join? Do you remember?
I don't know. I mean, it might have to be really early, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. So yeah, I think there was definitely a core group of like 40 people who I actually like met with in person at coffee shops.
Yep.
And then afterwards did like the bait and switch of like, hey, sign up. And I don't think you guys were those, but you were like the next group of people. So you're... Yeah, above 40, below, I'd say 300.
Yeah, it was June or July of 2012 is when I joined.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
similar time
yeah.
to you.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, yeah. Really, really proud to be a paid subscriber to
Yay.
Quib. Really,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's actually how we met, too. So, I mean, so we...
It was through Quib.
It was through Quib, but I don't remember when. Yeah. You just appeared in my life one day.
Magic.
As I magically do sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah so introduce yourself, Ash. What are you doing?
Yeah, so I've been working on products for the past, it's been a while, but I guess I started my first company when I was around 2008. I was an ed tech company, BetterAt, and I did that in Chicago. And it was an interesting time raising capital in Chicago for an ed tech company. I think the first guy who was raising money before me was raising money for mid-market industrial fittings, and I was doing an ed tech startup. But fast forward today, I've done a bunch of stuff since then, and currently I'm actually at Sequoia Capital, hacking on some internal products, and looking to commercialize some stuff out of it.
Sweet. So, for those of you that have listened to the show before, we basically just talk about products, stuff that we found on Product Hunt, or just stuff we use every day, or things we just found on the internet. So, Sandy, I'm curious. Being the only female in the room and the second female on the show, I guess.
Oh, wow.
So you're representing the women right
okay.
now. So you have
okay,
huge
lots of,
weight on
lots
your shoulders.
Lots of pressure. Okay,
yeah.
lots of pressure.
yeah.
So one of the things that I think like fairly substantial change in my life with products has been that I recently got a Nexus 5. So I am no longer an iPhone person, and it's been actually a pretty amazing and awesome change. And I expected it to be kind of shitty, but it wasn't. So that's great.
So what do you like most about that phone? Just really...
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I'm passing it around now. Yeah. It's, we need like some
weird
visuals.
Yeah. I'm a little jealous because the screen is at least an inch bigger than mine.
Yeah, it's really funny. When I pick up iPhones now, they feel really, like, dinky.
Really?
You think this feels dinky? Okay.
How light is this?
But, so I really like it. I wrote some just, like, quick notes the other day about what I liked about it. The intents that everybody talks about are definitely really great. I'm a big fan. Google Now is also... It's still not like quite there yet, but it's definitely way better than whenever you talk to iPhone people who are like, my phone knows all this stuff. Why can't it tell me X, Y, Z?
Right.
And this is actually starting to get there. So that's really good.
I love that you said Z, by the way.
Oh, yes. Yes. My Canadian-ness is sneaking out.
I wasn't going to ask.
You're like,
and I'm
what
still
is
not
going to
ask.
What
I'm just going to leave it at that.
Anyway, so one of the... So in getting to use an Android device, one of the things that I was most interested in trying out was both lock screen apps and launchers. So I haven't yet, I'm still like too new to the platform itself to be like really comfortable playing around with a full launcher. So I did try a couple, but I found that it was like too much change all at once. And I was like, whoa, I need to like understand what the baseline is so I can actually like notice improvements. So I kind of stepped back from that. And so right now I'm just using a lock screen app. So I'm using Cover. And I really like it. So, but I'm a little bit sad because I'm showing these guys. You guys,
cool.
This is Cover. So it basically shows you, it's able to sense where you are. So right now it shows that I'm out. and then it has different options for if you're at home, at work, driving around. And then it's going to display to you the top five apps that you use most often when you're in that situation.
So if you're driving, it detects that you're driving and you're probably going to need some navigation.
Yeah, so it'll show me, like, for example, I think some of my driving apps are, like, it'll show me Waze, it'll show me Songza, it'll show me the different, probably texting, I probably shouldn't say that, but it'll probably show me my SMS.
You're that person.
Voice dictation, right?
Yeah, and that's the other thing, actually. So Google's, I never used Siri because it was always just, like, the reliability was so low.
It's too slow.
Yeah, and it would just, like, forever having errors, but I find that the Google voice to text is actually really accurate, so I'm actually using it a little bit now, which is nice. But yeah, so Cover, I really like Cover. I'm a little bit sad because they were acquired recently, I think by Twitter. We'll see what happens there, but I really like it for now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm really jealous of all you guys that have Android phones, because, I mean, I always think to myself, Android, it's like, it's second, it's not that good, you know, but like...
No, that's totally what I thought, like, when I...
So much possibility, you know, for innovation, and like, I think that, like, context matters so much, and just the fact that you can even do that with Android, that you can't with iPhone, I think is such a huge misstep.
Yeah. No, it's really great, and it's definitely, like, one of the things, even, like, context between the other thing that I really like is switching between apps on Android feels really seamless versus like with iOS there's always like the double tap and it's a little bit obnoxious.
Double tap is a lot of work
versus it is it's like actual like physical thumbs. Movement happens but with this it's like it's really great because it can like flow fairly seamlessly between apps and you don't have to tell it where to go.
Yeah,
which is really nice.
See, the biggest thing with Android, I would love to have two devices, but I can't miss out on all the new apps. Yeah. Like, if you look on Product Hunt, probably, I would say 90% of the new apps that are on there are iOS only.
Yeah.
And
but then you have, I mean, I have
that's
a...
That's going to sort of change over time, too, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if that kind of makeup will kind of change as time goes on, and we'll start to see a lot more interesting Android apps. It seems like the more interesting apps now are kind of, I don't know, like that. Just the fact that you can't do that with iOS,
Like, it doesn't, like, why shouldn't I be able to, like, immediately launch into my email from my home screen?
Yeah. Or reply to an email through a notification or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the notifications, I also really like the notifications on Android. But yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, talking about, like, availability, I have my iPad mini.
Yeah.
So that's, like, where I get my, like, iOS fix. If I need to, like, try something out, then I can do it there.
You know, this is a stupid question probably, but is there an Android, like iPod Touch that I could just buy to try out apps? Because I mean, I love trying out apps.
Yeah, I mean, you can get one of the smaller tablets. There's like a Nexus 7, I'm going to completely guess. Yeah. I think I'm like 40% accurate on that guess.
I think it's only $200.
Which is like a tiny tablet. Yeah. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. Cool.
But then you can't, because there is a lot of stuff as well that takes advantage of
The fact that it's a phone.
The fact that you have, like, 3G.
Got it.
And the fact that you have, like, access versus, like, if you had a tablet, you'd have to make sure you had, like, Wi-Fi at some point to be able to actually feel the difference.
Power, yeah.
Some of it, too, is you kind of have to use it as an actual device, as an actual phone on the go to... If you're doing it for the purpose of, like, understanding an Android user's experience, you kind of have to, like, fully go into it, I feel like. But, yeah. I think there should be a service where you can rent out for 1-2 weeks at a time.
No, it's really funny. I actually talked to somebody else about this, and they were thinking that, like, what they could do is they could, like, take your iPhone. They could say, like, don't worry. Like, we'll babysit it for you.
Yeah.
Like, here, take this Android, and then they'll try it out. And probably a lot of the people would actually convert, and then they'd be able to take, like, some sort of, like, a little bit of an upside on the on the conversion.
Yeah.
That's clever.
Somebody actually was like, thinking about that as a service. I was like, okay, it's like a sign of the times. But.
Yeah. Cool. So what are you playing with?
What am I playing with?
Yeah.
So I have to say, one of the things, so, you know, it's interesting. When I was coming on this podcast, I was like, well, I don't want to name all the stuff that people have already named before me. So I had to, like, look in the last several days of Product Hunt. And actually, I want to talk about today's. Because I am a developer, designer, front end, mostly on the front end, and I saw Stamplay, and which was If This Then That for modern applications.
Ah, nice.
And
So I'm going to interject just real quickly because I haven't played with it myself, but of course I'm immediately skeptical.
Yeah, sure.
I would love to hear, like, actually, does it work and is it useful?
So it's actually, this is not a product recommendation necessarily just yet. Yeah. I mean, I think that the promise of the thing is really cool. So, mm-hmm. I mean, imagine, you know, connecting to sort of a backend as a service without necessarily requiring coding. I mean, if you read it, it says Stamplay gives web professionals superpowers to create web apps without coding and to save up to 90% of the software development cost. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the reality of it, as we know, is that that's probably not going to happen anytime soon, mm-hmm. To save 90% of the software dev cost, because mm-hmm. there's just so much that's involved in creating a modern web product that's, like, you know, scalable and responsive and, like, mm-hmm. you know, users love and, you know, all the stuff that you guys already know about. But if you can go halfway, and I kind of like that, I don't know if they did it or if whoever hunted it did it, but they kind of positioned it as if this, then that, mm-hmm. Where you can kind of stitch things together on the back end and make it really easy, almost like Parse did, to like, hey, I can just abstract mm-hmm. all these things away. I don't really have to worry about it. And yeah. make it so I can just, like, kind of couple things together on the front end and make really cool experiences.
Well, and if it may not be fully functional in terms of what you need for, like, an end product, but it sounds like it could maybe be perfect for a prototype or yeah. an MVP or something.
Yeah.
There's a lot you can do with just, like, basic presets with the right types of, I guess, templates or whatever they do provide.
Yeah, and, you know, we've relied for, you know, previous things that I've done. I've used If This Then That. And increasingly Zapier is
oh, yeah.
really, really cool product. I know people who are using it, who are non-technical people, who are using it, you know, to do things like a lot of the basic things around marketing automation. Mm-hmm. You know, like
yeah.
if you're a big company, sure, you have your own marketing, like inbound marketing stuff set up. But if somebody comes and, like, I have a launch, you know, quote unquote launch rock page up or something, and I'm trying to get inbounds into my startup and see if people actually care about it. And then I have a Zapier that says, okay, you know, send them an email immediately and then yep. do all this other stuff. Yeah. It's yep. pretty cool. It's kind of the beginning of, like, you know, automation, for,
yeah.
you know, done for you.
Have you seen import.io?
I have, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Import. It's a yeah. cool, it's a really great product. I don't know if you guys already talked about it, though.
So we haven't yet, no.
Okay, yeah, Import's a fantastic.
What, I haven't seen it.
Okay, so Import.io and Kimono Labs, which is another one.
Yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really, really awesome way to just write a scraper without mm-hmm. writing any code. Basically mm-hmm. create a scraper.
It's like a WYSIWYG scraper creation tool, sort of.
Yeah. And so, actually, this is a short little segue, yeah. but I have to tell you guys that I have a big product launch coming up next month, actually.
Nice.
I'm expecting my first kid.
What? Next Yay! Month? I'm finding out about it now?
Yeah.
No way. Congrats, so, dude.
Yeah, thanks. And so I used Import.io. Of course, I'm a huge nerd.
Wait, hold on.
Wait, yeah.
How does this connect to having a baby?
Yeah,
are we going to find out?
See, you'll okay. see. There will okay. be some summations
okay.
there. Okay. So I used Import.io to scrape babycenter.com, baby name guide, baby name
no
wizard,
way.
A oh. bunch of different services.
Yeah.
So I had created this database of 750,000 names.
Oh, my God.
To just
You're such a nerd.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
Probably should not have mentioned this on air. but then I just kind of flipped through some of the names. You know, I decided yeah. that was a crappy strategy because it was sure. just way too many names.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that I didn't need to write, you know, any script
actual,
basically
like,
to
yeah.
To go out and scrape all those names, which was fantastic.
That's cool. Do you know Matt Ellsworth, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He wrote like a course about.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think he uses Import.io for this, but he uses Import.io or some similar tool to scrape Yelp and some other services, and he uses that for lead gen for storefront.
Yeah.
And he has a course on Udemy. I'll link to it in the show, but it's fantastic course. Like, anyone who's non-technical can do this and automate a lot of the processes that they're doing manually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super smart nice. Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to hunt the baby in a month on podcast? What's the tagline going to be?
That's funny. Yeah, I haven't thought of that yet. Yeah.
You got the name, but now you need the tagline.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I've been thinking, you know, as I transition to this kind of new period in my life, you know, I'm starting to think a lot more about products that a child or parents would, yeah. would need.
Yeah.
And the one thing that, you know, I see a lot of consumer internet stuff, right, all the time, and I see enterprise stuff, and I see just tons of products.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, wow, if some of the, if just a fraction of this was yeah. diverted towards kids
yeah.
or parents, because parents are just willing to spend so much money on their kid
yep.
just because they're like, oh yeah, I guess I need that, sure, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it's almost that guilt oriented purchase.
Yeah, because I saw something mm-hmm. on Product Hunt recently where there was like, it was like the teddy bear.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot the name of that.
I don't remember it either. I just remember, like,
was it the one where you put the iPhone
yeah,
in it?
Like
yeah,
like inside, and then...
Yeah. And one thing that I'm really cognizant of now is, like, you know, we're all builders and creators, and, like, I just noticed that a lot of the products that are created for kids are intended on them sort of being consumers,
mm-hmm.
but I want... You know, I'm really excited about the phase where you can kind of get them to do stuff with
sure.
it and, like,
yeah.
build. And,
yeah.
Because I think that's so important.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I've had, like, conversations with people before who, like, in talking about their kids when they're really young, they're like, you know, I really want my kid to be able to, like, write really well and to be able
yeah.
to form opinions and, like, analyze things. And this one person was like, you know, I think it would be much better for my kid instead of going to, like, an after-school program to learn how to play violin
mm-hmm.
to actually, like, write a blog.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like talk about things that they use every day and actually critique them and talk about what they mm. like and what they don't like and to like form opinions.
Yeah. That's cool.
And like, what does that tool look like? Like a kid, a 5-year-old kid can't use WordPress probably.
Right.
Maybe like Tumblr, I guess. I right. don't know. Like, but is there like a kid friendly option?
Right. There's, I'm blanking on the name of it, but it's for toddlers and it's an iPad app that you essentially set it up and you put the email addresses of your grandparents and your parents and they can email, but the interface is more of like a doodle and a write and they can
oh,
essentially
nice.
create,
yeah.
but they're confined to this safe environment where they're only creating and publishing to their family,
certain people, yeah.
And you know, as much as kids love these devices, it's a good way for them to consume themselves in this digital technology but connect with their parents sort of in a way.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sort of like when you go to school and you draw something and you come home with this piece of paper and your parents put it on
yeah.
your like fridge.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's like a digital version of that,
yeah.
which is
yeah.
kind of rad.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll have to keep us up to date. You're going to be like the
yeah,
one of the experts.
yeah, bookmarking every single kid. Kid tech.
Yeah,
I like that.
Is there a
kid
name
tech.
For it? I feel
yeah,
like there
kid
must
tech.
Be a name for it.
You should
be.
That.
No, well, the 500 Startups huh. folks have the, like, what is it? Mama Bear? They have a conference
okay.
that's devoted
they
just
do?
To... I think so. Again, my huh. I feel like I'm like 40% accurate here again.
Okay.
But they do have, like, a... Yeah, for, like, kid... tech? I don't know. I don't know what it is, but yeah.
I have to make
it
sure
exists.
I go to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know if you want to talk about this, Sandy, but we were just, before we started recording, we were talking about another app that's exactly for getting pregnant. Or,
oh, yeah.
or not pregnant. Or whatever you
or
want.
Or not pregnant, yeah. No, it was funny because I was looking at my, so, yeah, so before coming here today, I was looking at my phone, and so I switched to this Android device like 3 weeks ago. So I'm still, I like started off like really like slim pickings in terms of apps, and I've slowly added things that I'm either just like trying out or things that I remember, like, oh yeah, that thing that I used to have that I don't have anymore. And one of them that I got is it's this app called Glow, and it's out of, I think it's like, I don't know if it's a studio model or an incubator or what it is, but it was this some sort of an organization that was started by Max Levchin. And so the app is called Glow, and what it does, I don't actually know what they like, how they talk about themselves. But what it is it's a way, it's like a, I don't know how to say this properly, female health
tracking
thing, tracking thing, calendar
yeah.
thing. And so you can, it's basically like a scheduler for all things affecting females. And the idea initially was, I actually saw Max Levchin talk about it at an event that I went to maybe like a year ago. And he was saying that for him and his wife wanted to have a kid, mm-hmm. like you and your wife, I'm assuming, Ash. And they realized that, like, as they were going through this stage in their life, they looked around to a bunch of their friends, and a lot of their friends were having a lot of trouble and they couldn't get pregnant. And he was like, well, wow, like, I'm sure there's, like, data that exists that we could apply to this situation to help these people. And so that was the impetus for starting GLOW, was the idea of like helping people who are trying to get pregnant to better understand and to like crowdsource the data around like what indicators will lead to pregnancy. But
does it anonymously share some of that data with the community?
I'm not sure. And I haven't really like looked into it very much. Hmm. But what is interesting, something that they got like a little bit of press about recently was, which is interesting, and I don't know if it's working, but it's definitely novel. When you are starting to try to get pregnant, if that's what you want to do, you can pay $50 a month, and it goes into this nonprofit fund. And if over, I'm pretty sure it's 10 months, you're not pregnant, all of that money is pooled. The people who do get pregnant are like, yay, I got pregnant, like, great. The people who don't get pregnant are able to draw from that fund to use that money to then apply to, and again, I'm not at all familiar with this area. I don't know what they're called. Like, help me get pregnant. Yeah. Okay, fertility treatment. See, Ash knows better than me. And I was like, oh, that's like a really interesting thing. And then they're also doing some partnerships with corporates to like help their employees and do some sort of like health HR stuff. But for people like me, there's also features around, I do not want to get pregnant. and please help that not happen.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that when I was looking through my phone, I was like, oh yeah, that's the one thing that I've like downloaded that's like somewhat new and novel that's actually like stuck on my new phone.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So there's a product that, I don't know if you saw this, I think it was last week. Mm-hmm. It was called Art Corgi.
Yeah.
I know I connected you by email, but do you know Art Corgi, Osh?
No, I'm looking it up right now.
Well, it's a silly name, but I love it.
Because we had joked before. So I've actually had funny portrait of myself drawn. And I remember showing you guys. That's right. And you guys were like super jealous. You guys were like, why don't I have a cartoon version of myself?
Yes, because we talked about the Fred Wilson sort of.
Profile pictures. So Art Corgi is a service where you get art commissioned, original art commissioned, you can just describe what you want either painted or drawn, or you can provide a photo and they can recreate it, whatever you want. And if you look on the site, they have tons of different artists, very talented, from digital artists to like kind of these 3D paintings. I mean, any kind of art you want. Cool. And so we actually had, I reached out to Simone, who's a CEO, this is a 500 startups company, and reached out to her and I'm like, hey, would you guys do a product hunt, like Duck Hunt kind of esque piece of art? Yes. And in exchange, we'll promote it to the community and show it off, and people can buy it if they want. And of course, she got super excited about that, and I'll link to it in the show notes. But they, I'm really sorry, I'm forgetting the artist's name, but she created this Duck Hunt inspired kind of like product hunt thing with the dog kind of like laughing like he does in Duck Hunt, with a little pee on his collar, and I thought it was really cool, interesting and creative. And I hope my mom isn't listening, but that's it. We're looking at on the Morphine.
Looks like Morphine, yeah.
Morphine.
It's the artist, yeah.
That's a really unique name. So I'm planning on giving my mom some sort of like family portrait. I don't know know what it should look like though.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to do something really silly and funny or something serious.
So what was the sort of input into this? Did you just say, hey, I want a duck hunt?
What was your process?
Yeah, so I said I wanted to be kind of Duck Hunt-ish because I couldn't think of how do you, like product hunt in general, like how do you visually describe that?
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I love video games. Duck Hunt's fun.
Yeah.
Let's play off that. So I sent him a photo of a screenshot of the game and then just described a few things. Like we need something that has, it needs some sort of product hunt reference. And so I suggested maybe like on the collar a pea, which you can see in the picture. And then for whatever reason, the ducks are also peas because they're sort of like products and he's sort of hunting for products.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit more subtle. And so she sent back, I think it was 5 or 6 different illustrations first.
Okay.
And then they said what I liked about them and what I didn't. And then we narrowed in on this. And it was all within, I want to say, 5 days or something.
Gotcha.
So
wow, super fast.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. From the time when I said, yeah, that's good, it was, I think, 24 hours, and she delivered results.
Okay.
So it was really fast.
Well, it was interesting, too, because the other thing that I was saying before we started recording was I was looking at, like, what different products have I found and used on Product Hunt, and this is another example of, like, a service to, like, get a good type thing.
Yeah.
So, like, you, like, with your mom, you're, like, using this online service to actually, like, create, like, a physical or, like, somehow interact with, like, some physical
Yeah.
thing. Because the other ones that I've, like, used and kept around have been, I just tried out, I haven't received anything yet, but I'm like in the process of starting to use Easy Fridge, which is, I think they deliver food and help me cook food, which I'm not very good at.
what's cool about Easy Fridge is I use Instacart. I love Instacart, they deliver groceries, but what Easy Fridge is trying to do is make it even simpler and not even have you choose what you're going to eat, so you didn't need to go to Instacart.
Yeah, it sounded like there was some sort of like menu helping.
Yeah, subscription aspect. Service. They just deliver you some, like they tailor to your dietary restrictions or something like that, or maybe if you're gluten free, they'll customize it to that. But they just simplify that entirely, and I like the model. Actually, it was one of the, I don't know how many upvotes it has now, but I think it was 140 upvotes. It was super popular.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
120.
Wow.
So how do they? So once you sign up, how does it work, though?
Yeah, there was, like, a short survey around, like, what, again, like, what you're talking about, like, dietary restrictions. It was asking, like, how many people are in your household. But I'm still at the point right now, I think I need to actually, like, talk to a person.
Yeah.
Because I think I've been assigned, like, a shopper who will, like, get to know me and what I like to, like, what my household likes to eat. And then that person will sort of adjust and go out and do the shopping. But it was funny because the other one was, I've like tried like a bunch of these like real world, I don't know what to call them, like the service economy stuff. And
all the ones that are funded by venture capitalists that cost low and make our lives better, essentially.
Yeah. So I've like tried like so many of those. Like I used to use Prim before they shut down, and then I was using Washio or Washio. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Yeah. Are they still around? Yeah.
I like churned out. I'm not using them anymore.
Okay.
Churned out.
Churned out.
We're in San Francisco.
Yes. And then I'm also. What else do I use? I've used like Dog Vacay for my dog. Mm. I use Sprig. I really like Sprig. TaskRabbit all the time. So yeah, it was funny when I was looking through, I was like, what do I use like consistently that I found on Product Hunt? And a lot of it was these like services.
Basically things that give you more time. And I'm finding more and more value in those services too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, that's going to be incredibly important for me in the next coming months.
Yeah, with an extra person.
Yeah, and so I mean, just having the ability to do things on Instacart and just, you know, Munchery or whatever it might be to just get food delivered or get clothes done, even if I do have laundry in my place, just have somebody else take care of a lot of things is great. But you know, one thing that's kind of weird that we, you know, I notice this anytime I like leave San Francisco, it's like we have this sort of bubble
and
here.
For everyone else, Osh lives in Seattle every 2 weeks or so. You're in Seattle, in 2 weeks you're here, roughly.
Yeah, and so, you know, a lot of the services exist in San Francisco, but even when you go out and go to even Seattle, I think, is even actually okay because they have a lot of services like Uber and stuff like that. But if you go to, you know, southeastern Pennsylvania, where I'm from, like Philadelphia, there's just not a lot of this kind of innovation and products available, I guess, that you can use in these services that you can use.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think it's also like a run-on effect of being in a really dense urban setting as well. So like where I'm from like eastern Canada. Mm-hmm. It's like, none of this stuff would ever work there. And when I talk to my family back home, they kind of are like, what? Like, what do you do to get that like mundane thing done that I taught you to do when you were 8? Like, what?
Right.
And it's just like comes across a little bit as like bizarro world.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And I think it's funny because I think it's also, it's just like, what does the world look like when services are coming to you through online marketplaces versus services are coming to you from standalone service providers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is that the actual change? And is it therefore the fact that those individual standalone service providers will eventually like change to being on some sort of like a platform?
Sure.
Versus is it actually a fact of like the urban density or like what is the contributing factor that allows these things to work now, mostly in like certain types of places, but are those like factors that make it work actually, can they exist in other places too?
Yeah. It was funny. My parents visited maybe 9 months ago, and I think it was the first time they had to experience Lyft. and Uber. And so I showed them, well, first they're like, you got to call a taxi. Like, we got to get a restaurant. You know, you better hurry. It's going to take some time. And I'm like, Mom, Dad, I got this. Don't worry about it. I open up Lyft, I think, at the time. And, you know, they were there in 5 minutes. And first I showed the phone, you know, where you can see the car arriving. And my dad's mind just was like blown. He's like, wait a minute. So you can like see them arrive. And, you know, now we're kind of acclimated to that. Like, it's kind of an expectation. And now that's how we like behave. That's what we rely on. But for him, it was like, whoa, this is amazing. And I had to keep reminding him, like, further on in the vacation, you know, that there's Lyft here. He's, like, kept on saying, call a taxi, get ready. And it's we live in a really, like, awesome place, I think, for this kind of stuff.
I don't know, unfortunately. And it's interesting, like, if you talk to other people outside here, I mean, they have sort of mixed reactions. I mean, I don't know what your dad's... It sounds like your dad was super positive about it.
He was positive, but at the same time, he was also, like, many people nervous about the safety. Many people initially think about that, which I can understand, but at the same time, you know, taxi drivers, I don't know if they're the most safe either. Yeah, so,
somebody told me that, you know, we're creating adult babies essentially, right? Because like we can't really handle anything ourselves, and we can't do.
I mean, I think it is also you're like you, Sandy. No, you're a prime example of an adult baby.
No, because I mean, you learned to do your own laundry when you're 8, now you don't do it anymore, right? And I mean, I feel like I mean I'm the same way, but I'm like, there's so many other things that I'd rather kind of be doing, I guess, with my time. A lot of these kind of mundane things. But I also feel guilty sometimes.
I definitely feel guilty a lot of the time.
I don't feel guilty about it.
No, and it's also, I mean, there's also like some other I'm just thinking, like, related, this, like, the, like, sharing economy is, like, also, like, closely related. And one thing that I've, like, really liked in that has been, so I have, we have two cars. And so one of them we rent out on Getaround. And that's been, like, a really, like, nice, like, in theory for the other people using it, it acts as, like, this, like, service on demand thing where they can come and just, like, rent a car. But for me, it's, like, a nice, like, well, the car is just sitting there. It's just going to continue to sit there. I only use it to go to, like, Palo Alto once a month, if that. And then it's, like, really nice to actually have it. It's really funny. We joke that it's, like, our, like, it's like a little worker. It just like sits there and like works and like earns. It like earns money.
Can you share, like, how much you make?
So I think last month was $600. Okay. So it's we've actually lowered the. You can choose both an hourly rate and a daily rate on Getaround. And so we set the. It's really funny. Our neighborhood is actually somewhat competitive, in that there's another. So it's like an older like 3 Series BMW. And so down the street, there's another 3 Series BMW that's like 2 years older. Or sorry, it's newer. It's 2 years
newer. You ever let the air out of the tire a little bit?
No. I feel like, no. But we've had to, like, we've lowered. As soon as that one, like, came online, we definitely noticed that, like, the reservations dropped off. Because people were like, oh, well, there's this other one over here that's newer. That's, like, the same price. So then we dropped our price. So we've had to drop the price over time as it's become more competitive. It's been on Getaround for maybe 8 months now.
Interesting,
but still it's bringing in like $600 a month.
Very nice.
Which is like, I mean, not bad. And then considering we initially were considering selling it, and it looked like the blue book, like what we would get for it would be maybe $5,000 or $6,000, and we've earned that back.
You know what's crazy to me?
So we've like earned the money back, plus we still have the car. So it's like pretty,
what is hilarious to me is that you get around a car and you lease another car. So you lease a smart car.
So I have this. So when I moved up to San Francisco from Palo Alto, I got a electric smart car. Because as anybody who's listening has ever had the like horror of parking in San Francisco, it's horrible. And there's all these little tiny, like, if especially if you're in the residential areas, there's all these little tiny curb spots. Bits like tons. Between driveways.
Yeah.
And I call them smart spots. I'm like, perfect. There's a smart spot just for me, and I can just like pull in there. Problem is after we got the car, I realized that the range isn't actually that great, so we can't get down to like Palo Alto. And need to get down there every once in a while. So then we kept the BMW, but it turns out that the BMW actually is like compensating. We took into account like the like depreciation of the car over time and the like expected revenue. We did like a spreadsheet and then like how much the cost of the smart car and the lease of the smart car. And we're actually coming out like net positive. So we actually have two cars now. and like all costs, even like including the ongoing maintenance of, because we have to like change the oil in the BMW and all that stuff, even though we're not really using it, but we're still actually making money having two cars, which is like, that's again, like bizarro world.
Awesome.
It's like all this stuff that can only exist in San Francisco for the moment. And like in theory, it's like, again, like what are those factors that allow that to exist? Are they something to do with like the geography, the density, the what is it? Yeah. Is it like the category? Is it the...
So I think there's a whole class of products that's kind of waiting to be created, to your point, about just like helping you almost like make more money out of your sort of latent inventory about your like, just, you know what, here's my car. I don't use it all the time. Just take care of it for me. Because I, as you know, I fly out to Seattle and I Airbnb my place out.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And and we get tons and tons of really cool, interesting people from around the world. We get like a lot of entrepreneurs, because it's kind of, we give discounts to first-time entrepreneurs on our loft. And we
do you have one of the services that like takes care of it? Because I've heard that there's also that there's like the like bellhop kind of
so we are very, very eager to look into those services, because like it's, you know, it's just really, really annoying scheduling all of the cleaning and things like that.
Because that's the one problem, again, like with the get around car. Yes. Is that it is like sometimes people, it was really funny actually.
You don't have the unlock.
No, we do. We have this like, so it's called like Get Around Instant, where they just like use their phone in the car. There's like a car kit, they call it, in the car that's pre-installed and it allows you to unlock it with your phone. But some people will like leave trash in it or they don't fill up the gas. And I'm just like, oh. This is annoying. And so it's probably the same. Yeah. It's like somebody leaves your place like dirty, or you have to manage the cleaning.
Right.
Or...
And just like scheduling it before the somebody else comes. And you know, it's just, it's kind of annoying.
I haven't used Air Envy, but I think...
Air Envy, that's the one.
Yeah, I think I could be wrong, but I think they take only 15% and they manage the listing, the booking, the cleaning, and everything.
Nice. Yeah.
Could be wrong, but 15% is completely reasonable.
Yeah. Oh, So I think there's a lot of services just like that. And and even if like Airbnb somehow worked with, you know, HomeJoy or, you know, another one of these services, like that would be fantastic.
An Easy Fridge.
Yeah.
Connect them all together. Yeah. Give them a get around car.
Yeah.
So it's kind of related a little bit, but the sharing economy, to an extent, I'm curious to hear about AlphaWorks, because you just raised some money for Quib, and part of that is through AlphaWorks, which is brand new. In fact, you were the first launch partner for their, I don't know what they call it, but the AlphaWorks.
Yeah, so they have what's, so AlphaWorks is a new, the Jobs Act and crowdfunding has allowed for a bunch of different financing options for companies to sort of emerge. And so what AlphaWorks is working on, so they're a team, they're sort of like spun out of BetaWorks and the BetaWorks studio. So they're working on allowing communities to actually sort of like self-fund products that they like and use and enjoy. So they launched what they're calling, it's called the AlphaWorks Invest Card. So what's really nice about it is it's just this, it's really easy. I could just like implement it directly on Quib itself, and it allows people to come to Quib and literally just like through, I think there's like four different fields, just enter like, how much do you want to invest? What's your name? What's your email address? Done. And then it's really nice for me, because then on the back end, AlphaWorks handles all of the regulatory stuff that I don't want to deal with.
Yeah,
because there are definitely a lot of added requirements when you raise money in this public type of way. So it's considered general solicitation, which is a new, it's newly available as of, I think it was like September 28th of 2013. So that was, so I announced that, I think it was about a month ago, and it's closed, and it's, so it was really great for me, especially because I already had a lot of people on Quib who wanted to invest in the product,
and it's really a lot of them investors
happen to be investors already. But I mean, if you want to do that normally, it's really hard. There's no tools that exist previous to this for me to like take these people directly on my site and say like, hey, here you are, like invest in this company. It was like you had to like go out to other places to be able to do that.
And what's the average investment of an AlphaWorks, or does it give you that kind of granularity when you sign in here?
In terms of the people who are this?
It looks like total 46 investors and successfully raised 132.
Yeah, so that's actually, it was actually, It was, yeah, it was actually a lot higher than that, but we had to do some adjustments. But yeah, no, it went really well. There was a lot of interest. Quib is like an interesting audience in that there's a lot of people who use the product who are already active angels and mm-hmm. they make investments. That's like a normal process for them. But it was really nice to have this tool to help guide those people through all of the added requirements. Because previously there was basically like a traditional fundraise, which is considered private, and an IPO. And that was like it.
Yeah.
So the SEC was just like, you're one or the other. And now there's this new category where you're like publicly talking about raising money, but it's not an IPO.
Yeah.
So there's like some extra stuff that you have to do, and investors are a little bit unfamiliar with it. So AlphaWorks is really great in that it helps guide people through that process.
Yeah. I mean, I love the idea of having the people that use and love the product actually be invested.
Yeah, so it totally makes everything. Sense.
Yeah. Patreon is another one that's similar in that. Are you familiar with Patreon?
No.
I mentioned it actually before on, I think, the second or third podcast, but it's similar in that it allows the users, viewers of, let's say, videos or music or whatever the content creator is creating to subscribe and basically pledge every time they create something. So if you are a musician, you can have a number of subscribers that will pay $1, $5, whatever it is for every song that you come out with.
Mm-hmm.
And so it allows to, like, kind of like Kickstarter, but it's like sustaining, and you can build an audience and continually make money through your audience directly.
Really, I wonder if that's getting artists and authors and creators to just generate more instead of like trying to, like, I don't know, spend some time and create something good. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's kind of,
I don't know.
It's kind of a weird funding model, but it's cool. I mean, it's definitely, you know, this compared to nothing is definitely way better.
Yeah. Because there have been a lot of products that are like these, like, tip jars.
Yeah.
I've seen like a lot of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this seems to be like really focused just on like creative professionals.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very much in line with the Kickstarter kind of community as well.
Mm.
But yeah, they seem to be doing really well. Anyway, I think we're almost like 40 minutes in, but do you guys have anything to plug or any last things to mention?
Try an Android.
No, I mostly just wanted to say, I actually was thinking about hunting Product Hunt, which would be very meta, and just have you talk through your experiences a little bit, but yeah.
Hunting Product Hunt?
Yeah, I was just like talking about Product Hunt on Product Hunt.
Whoa. Mind blown.
Cause yeah, I mean, it'd just be interesting to hear from you about all the different things that you've learned and talk to different people along there.
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin. It's been, so, quick backstory, and I won't go too far into this, but I left Playhaven, where I moved to San Francisco 4 years ago to join a startup, and we grew from 10 people when I joined to over 100, and I transitioned out of that, and actually January of this year is when I officially left, and I'd been working on Product Hunt kind of on the side as an experiment in between there, and over the past, I think 6 months ago is when I first started the email list for Product Hunt, but over
with
this
Linky
past,
Dink.
Yeah, with good old Linky Dink. It's so simple, and I love Linky Dink. I love emails too. And so over the past 6 months, I've learned an incredible amount in many different areas, and that was kind of one of my goals in leaving Playhaven. It was just, frankly, not learning as much, feeling stagnant. And so, I don't know, it's not really answering your question, but I'm super excited with where I'm taking Product Hunt, partly just for my own selfish, like, benefit of learning, to be honest.
Yeah, so awesome.
So more announcements in the future.
Cool.
Whatever
Sounds
that means.
Good.
Super excited about them.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for coming on. This is awesome.
Yeah,
I think
thanks
this
for
is
having us.
Number six. All right. So soon I've been listening to, like, This Week in Startups. I think Jason's on number maybe almost 500.
Oh,
so
wow.
I think I should do this every single day to catch up in a couple years. Yeah. Cool. Thanks again, guys.
All right. Thank you. Yeah.